Welcome back to High Heat 305, everyone. This is episode 15, and this show is presented by FL Teams. Check out flteams.com, your go-to one-stop shop for all Florida sports coverage. Also, check out at FL Teams on social media. High Heat 305, I'm your host, James, and I do apologize for the late episodes. Life caught up, but now I won't let it catch up to me anymore because we got quite the talk about today. And it's very amazing Saturday afternoon until the unfortunate typical natural disaster comes in the state of Florida. So welcome to the autumn season. As you see, I'm wearing a hoodie bundling up, but that's not the point. The point here is we're talking about the amazing thing that happened on Sunday afternoon. And if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, just like myself, you already know. Dolphins, amazing 21-point comeback. And really, all we're talking about is the recap of what happened against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, Maryland. They have come back from behind, and they have won this game 42-38. We were down 21 points twice, meaning we were down 28-7, 35-14 at one point, and that's going towards the third quarter and the fourth quarter. So we first start off with the kickoff return, 103 yards, which is a very first kick at the game and the very first play of the game. Right away, the special teams, it is pretty much a special teams nightmare for football in that particular weekend. And I'll talk about that more in a little bit. But my point here is the special teams did not do its part, and then we have conceded 7-0. But the second, fast forward to second quarter, Jalen Waddle responds from the 6-yard pass from Tua Tagovailoa. Immediately after, Rashad Bateman from 75 yards from Lamar Jackson to make a 7-14. So right away, it kicked things off. And a lot of that momentum is shifted towards Baltimore. And just like that, we were down 28-7. Mark Andrews is responsible for that touchdown. And DeMarcus Robinson is also responsible for that touchdown in the second quarter as well. And both of those were from Lamar Jackson. Third quarter, Mike Gesicki with the basketball jump to catch the football, which was a 14-yarder from Tua. He had to spin to the left side of that field to find open receiver. And he found his open tight end, our heart and soul, Mike Gesicki. So he caught that from 14 yards. It is now 14-28. And then the defense tried to – there was some defensive play from both sides. And then – and speaking of defensive plays, we had a terrible one. We had collapse. The pass rushing was not there, and Lamar Jackson found the hole. He found a really, really good one from 79 yards to – score a touchdown. And just like that, we were down 14-35. And the fourth quarter, Tua went full beast mode in the entire fourth quarter. And the really big beast mode that happened for both Tua is the defense and Tyreek Hill. So Tua for 7 plays in the particular possession. River Craycraft from 2-yard pass. And it's now 21 points for us, which is 14-point deficit. So we're inching closer, you know. But, you know, my first thought when the third quarter ended is like, okay, we're done. I'm just going to, you know, hang out with the dudes. But then the touchdown happened. Like, okay, Richard Craycraft, not the big X factor in the Miami Dolphins, but it's good to see somebody else besides the big names in the Dolphins side get the spotlight. And River Craycraft deserves that spotlight, so congratulations to him. And then just like that, we had a full beast mode happening from Tyreek Hill, who was wide open, completely exposes the defense. The Baltimore defense just collapsed. They have collapsed in the worst way possible. When they were winning 21 points ahead of the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill was wide open, and he caught it for a touchdown. It was 48 yards. And now just like that, we were down one possession. Then the defense made a big play to stop Lamar Jackson from converting a fourth down midfield. and Miami Dolphins took over with just three plays. That third play that happened, guess who it was? It was Tyreek Hill, 60 yards, completely exposing the defense, completely just run past the corner. He was wide open. The secondary was too late to get to Tyreek Hill. By the way, not only Tyreek Hill exposed him, but he is fast. That's why he's named the Cheetah. He's fast, he can expose the defense, and he can even do that in South Florida. It ain't just the Kansas City Chiefs with the good regime of Andy Reid, but with under Mike McDaniel, that is the something's going right. Oh, and not to mention you have Wes Welker, who is the wide receiver coach. Congratulations. 60 yards from Tua to Tyreek Hill, and we are tied with 5 minutes and 19 seconds left. So sixth place, we stopped them, but Baltimore takes the lead right back from a Justin Tucker 51-yarder. He's an accurate kicker in the league, so there's no way that – well, there was a small chance he could, but there was no way – realistically, he could miss that one, unless if you're in that scenario where you're playing against the New Orleans Saints, which is – you know, we don't want to talk about that. But our next drive is the big one. And we can thank Chase Edmonds for making some good plays to run through to get to the other side of the field. And then the next play that took the lead for us and ultimately won the game, and it wasn't just Tyreek Hill, it's Jaylen Waddle, his second touchdown of the game, and it's an ending from 7 yards, and they take the lead 42-38. Lamar Jackson was sending the prayers, the Hail Mary. And the pass was short, the coverage was good, and we won 2-0. My gosh, the comeback never happens like that ever. So that game, teams trail 0-711. That game, the teams are now 1-711. And guess who's the only team that was able to do that since 2005? Miami Dolphins. By the way, speaking of 2005, they did that same thing, down 21 points against Buffalo. There's a history right there. So they didn't. That's not the first time they would do that. Come back from 21 points down. Sure, it ain't like the 28-3 that happened in the Super Bowl. But no, there is no other time that would happen in the NFL, at least, because that happened in the college football, where teams could come back 28-3 and win it in overtime, much like the Patriots did against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm pretty sure there was, but in my knowledge, I didn't see any. But I know it happens in college football. Oh yeah, it happens in college football. Find it amazing. That teams like that can come back from the dead and win it twice in the franchise of their history. You could sort of compare this with the Florida Panthers. Florida Panthers were down 4 points. They were down 4 points in the NHL game in 2019 season, right? They were down 4 points in that 2019 season twice. And the game against the Boston Bruins, they have come back and they won in overtime in Boston. And that was like the crazy, amazing comeback that happened. But then they did it again against Anaheim down in Sunrise, where they were trailing 4-0. And then they came back and win it there in South Florida. That happened in the 2019 season. That's twice. But the crazy part about it is that they did it again this past season in the 2021-2022 season when they won the President's Cup. They did it twice against New Jersey, the Devils. They were trailing 6-2, and then they came back 6 points each, and in overtime they have won it 7-6. They did it again against the Maple Leafs. In, I think it was Sunrise, if I'm not mistaken. So I didn't watch that game because of a fan emergency, but it happens again. So my point, the point here is, teams are capable of making crazy comebacks, and it just so happens that our South Florida teams are capable of it as well. It's a shame that the Marlins can't do that. However, what we can say about the Miami Marlins that is really positive, Sandy Alcantara's fifth complete game, he did that against the Washington Nationals in D.C. And the first pitch to do so since 2017. And guess who was young in that year? And guess who was able to do provide that for that particular team? It is Corey Kluber in 2017. And that year when Corey Kluber won the American League Cy Young Award was also the year when he had fifth complete game. This is the discussion. Sandy Ace deserves to be a Cy Young winner for the National League. He deserves it. I think they underestimated him and what he could do. He did it against the Nationals. He did it against the Cardinals. He did it against the Dodgers of all teams, the Dodgers, at home. I mean, what more could I say? Really, what more could I say? Give him that Cy Young winner, or there's a problem. There shouldn't even be a discussion. He deserves it. And I like to say for the Marlins, this rebuild has been awful. This year's rebuild hasn't been, you know, what happens. I will say this, to be fair with the Marlins, the bug happened, but, you know, there's no excuse because there were other players that can't hit the baseball. But the biggest blow, of course, is the bullpen. And if you ask me, Stephen O'Kirk, he's got to go. I think he needs to be gone. He shouldn't even be our player. He's awful. He should be traded somewhere else. Tanner Scott, I don't think he deserves to stay in Miami as well. He has blown half of the games that he's trying to save. When the games are as important to try to win, try to get to the playoffs, he couldn't provide. Stephen O'Kirk couldn't provide. Dylan Floro, yeah, he could provide. But before the hot streak, he couldn't provide either. So, really, our starting pitchers are having some wasted outings by the offense not coming alive, and the relief pitching is not there. And that's the problem with the Miami Marlins in this rebuild. Bruce Sherman, last week, our owner, saying he's going to invest deeply in this offseason, and hopefully that respect is earned by the South Florida community to bring this team back the championship to Miami. I hope so. Prove us wrong, because Tampa is able to make a good team because, one, they have a pretty good farm system. They figure it out. But the irony here is we also have a good farm system. So what's the problem? What is the problem with this franchise? Is it because you're trading away one of the best players in history? Are you trading them all away for some big top prospects? If that's the case, then maybe you could have a case. But so far, it has not been working. That one year when we did make the playoffs was a shortened season. We want to prove to the world that we can do it full season and win the World Series. You know, winning the World Series is too much to ask. All we want is just a contendership. We want to be a contender team. We want to contend. We just want a good team. That's all. We don't have to win a World Series. We just want to be a contending team to not only be consistently good, but to make the playoffs year after year. That's really all. That's all. You know, the Mets had a bad ownership, and now they have a really good ownership since 2021. They're competing. They're in the playoffs now. The Atlanta Braves are also competing. And they were awful years ago, and now they're one of the best teams in the league. Houston Astros tanked for so long. Now they're the best team in the American League. You see my point here? You see my point I'm trying to get? That the Rays, they were never that good. They weren't good for a long time. And now the 2020 season, when they did make the playoffs and did make it to the World Series in that shortened season, they made – guess you know what they did? Do you know what they did at the year later? They won the American League East. So what's the problem with the Marlins? I want to talk about this more in a few weeks because I think it'll be a good show. What's the problem? So what now after the Hurricanes lost to the Texas A&M? All right, here are the problems. The mentality was not there for the Hurricanes. To be fair, they're in the SEC environment and a very hostile environment of Texas A&M. Folks, they have a good fan base. They're not afraid to hold back. And I think the stress and the rust and the short staff really got the best of them. Because we have lost this game 17-9. The offense was nowhere to be found. And when they were found, they didn't make it to the end zone one bit. And to add insult to injury, the special teams nightmare happened. So earlier, I mentioned the special teams football nightmare. You know, the special teams wasn't there when the kickoff return for Baltimore happened in our game. It kind of carried over to the Hurricanes game to, like, there was nothing. So Borregaard missed a couple of field goals, and one of them might have been blocked, but he still missed the field goal when the games matter. The noise was unbelievable. Oh, before the field goals even happened, right? Keep in mind, the Texas A&M, the defense is pretty good for the Hurricanes, but the offense was better. However, when we did get a 3-and-out stop against A&M, against Max Johnson, we muffed the football coming towards the special teams receiver. He fumbles it. When the ball bounced, you should let it stay bouncing. I don't care how many yards it's back to us. Do not touch the football unless you're absolutely sure you can catch it. He was not sure. He touched the football. It fumbled, and A&M was able to recover it. And just like that, they scored that first touchdown, and we were trailing. So what now after the Hurricanes lost? So 3 o'clock today, we got the game against MTSU, or it's 3:30, excuse me. Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders. It should be a win for us, but given the short staff and the offensive line needs some help, we need to bounce back. We have to bounce back against Middle Tennessee, and we have to do it right here. They are part of the Conference USA division, which is the same division as FIU and Florida Atlantic Owls. So this is not really a big game. It should be a win for us, but I'll be shocked if we lose this game because there will be some multiple problems. Because we were up, we were ranked 13th, and now we are all the way down to 25. How does that happen? Because the offensive team were not there against a pretty good school like Texas A&M. It's plain and simple, folks. There's no excuse. There was no excuse at all. The offense was not there. The defense tried their best, but the A&M was really good. And the A&M's defense was also really good, too. Keep in mind, it was at home. So, you know, Texas A&M, they're actually coming back. We're going to play them again next year, it seems like. It's at home at Hard Rock, so it's a very different environment than when we play at in Texas A&M University. So, I don't know. Only time will tell. And hopefully able to make the game. Hopefully. But there's another South Florida school that has lost the game that same weekend, and it's FAU Owls. Lost the game against UCF Knights 40-14. Eventually, I want to talk more about these college schools in the future because we got a good guest coming on pretty soon. So here's my question. Should Tyler Hero get extended? Should he re-sign and extend a pretty good contract with Miami Heat? Yes. It's not even a discussion. So Tyler Hero, six-man hero, shooter, off the bench, But I think he wants something. I think he wants to be a starter. If anything, if he does be a starter in case something does bad happens and we trade to some big name players, which we won't, but if he does, then he will be that guy. He wants some minutes. He wants to be the guy who can carry this team into the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, and hopefully win us the NBA championship. There's something that tells me we're going to play much better because we got a good draft pick who's big, who can shoot, and training off season, Bam Adebayo making some good shots off season, really training his butt off because there is a league in Miami area. It's called Miami Pro League. He's won a championship for that particular team, along with Mitchell. So they're going to get better, as well as Jimmy Butler's trying to get better. Kyle Lowry's also trying to get better. And more importantly, the big name here is Victor Oladipo, who's trying to get better and remain healthy. If he remains healthy all year long, it's over. We're going to make it to the NBA Finals. Hopefully, it's a big word, it's a big talk, I know, but it's going to be a big one. And we might have an advantage because the fact that the team has a lot of chemistry, they trust each other, and more importantly, we have the best coaches in the league, Eric Spoelstra. He can carry us into the playoffs every year, and he can make good setups, good lineups, a good roster. He can do it. Pat Riley can do it as well. I'm kind of shocked this offseason we didn't make too many moves. I honestly thought back in June there was going to be a big shift in it, and then nothing happens. There was a few signs and DJ Tucker going off to Philadelphia. Yeah, really not much happened. So the only big move that I can really think of for the Miami Heat is to extend Tyler Hero. They should do it. They really should do it, but hopefully. And we got some good news. Florida Panthers preseason starts on Tuesday, so I'm excited. And you know, for the Florida Panthers, they have some really, 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 really high expectations for the Florida Panthers. So Monday, actually, it was against Nashville Predators. So the Panthers play against Nashville. I want to see Tkachuk and Bennett in that lineup and see if it works. So they have two games against each other in that same night. So Monday, September 26th, is the first preseason game for the Florida Panthers. So Tuesday, there's nothing. It's really other teams playing. So our next game after would have been Thursday against the Carolina Hurricanes. So preseason watch happening. And around the corner of that is also the Miami Heat preseason coming up pretty soon. So that'll be it for High Heat 305 episode 15. Let me know what you think on behalf of FL teams and myself. I thank you for watching, listening. And we have your back. When we do, we'll be right there with you, the entertainment you deserve. So Hurricanes need to bounce back. Dolphins have a huge game tomorrow. Go check out the preview that was posted yesterday where Isaac is talking with Jeremiah. What's going to go down against Buffalo? And yeah, folks, that'll do it. Have a good day, everyone. Stay safe. And let's go Hurricanes. Let's go Dolphins. Let's go Saw Florida. Good night, everybody.